I've been telling the story for years, but telling is a different animal from writing. In the telling, I have shaped a version of it, one that fits neatly in my hand, something to pull out of my pocket at will, to display, and to tuck away when I'm ready, like a shell, or a stone, or a molded piece of clay. The story I've honed over the years is as neat as my scar. It is smooth and tender, and conceals more than it reveals. Here is how the newspaper tells the story. Stabbing spree sends 7 to hospitals. 7 people were wounded, 2 with life-threatening injuries, when a man pulled a knife at an Audubon Street coffee house late Sunday and began stabbing people. The attack, occurring about 10 p.m., caused pandemonium and a virtual bloodbath at Coffee at 104 Audubon Street. There was no apparent provocation, police said. The 2 victims most seriously hurt were covered with blood, and it was difficult to tell how many times they were stabbed, police said. There was a lot of blood, said Detective Sergeant Robert Lawler. There were some very serious injuries. Bloody handprints were visible on a window, where one of the victims apparently climbed out. Numerous trails of blood led from the coffee house, which is in the city's arts district, near the Creative Arts Workshop and Neighborhood Music School. We have no idea what provoked him, Lawler said. There were about 10 people in the coffee house at the time, he said. New Haven Register, Monday, August 8, 1994. The first time I read this article, I laughed when I got to bloodbath. Bloodbath? It sounded like something from a trailer for a slasher movie. But it wasn't a movie, and there was a lot of blood, evidently, although I don't remember that part. I remember it differently. On the night of August 7, 1994, I walked into a coffee shop called Coffee on Audubon Street in New Haven. I was a graduate student in the American Studies program at Yale, and I was there to work. I had James Bolden Johnson with me, specifically his 1912 novel, The Autobiography of an Ex-Colored Man, about which I was writing a paper. I was having a hard time concentrating that night, so I went to Coffee, which was not far from where I lived, and was one of the many spaces in New Haven where students went to read and write and talk. It was a typical coffee shop in a typical college town. I was frustrated with my work, so frustrated with my inability to concentrate that I was giving the evening only one last chance. It was late, nearly 9 o'clock. Maybe too late. Maybe just call it a night. I debated with myself, walking slowly the 3 yards from my car to the door of Coffee. I was probably talking to myself, as I do all the time, muttering about all that I had to do. A man on a bicycle and I approached the door at the same time. Beside him stood an average-size, average-looking brown dog on a leash. The man was listing on his bike, rocking side to side, as if he himself had not made the commitment to go inside the shop. Maybe, maybe not. Our eyes met. He looked like Gallagher, the 1970s comedian, the same long hair and bald pate, the same thick mustache. Or at least that's what I remember. To this day, when I think of Daniel Silva, I think of Gallagher, whom I rarely, if ever, thought about before that night. I don't remember who went in first, but I remember making the decision not to let the oddness of this stranger bother me, because he was odd. It was the way he was listing on his bicycle. It was the unsettling way he looked at me. His look was familiar, or too aware, not the passing glance of a stranger. Even now, I have a hard time describing it. He was odd. It was instinct. I knew something was wrong with him. Or maybe this is just the cliche of hindsight speaking. After all, we're talking about a university town and a coffee shop full of nerds off in their own little worlds, people who routinely talk to themselves out loud, as I had been doing that night. Here I have lingered longer than I lingered in that moment, which passed as quickly as a proverbial blink of an eye. I looked at the man, made a quick, unconscious association with Gallagher, went in to get my coffee, and planted myself at a table. I put my keys on the table. I pulled out my book and notepad. I took off my glasses and my watch. No distractions, just me and the page, as naked as I allow myself to get in public. At some point, I looked up and noticed that the strange man had settled into a chair not far from me. I was aware of him as he watched a table full of young girls next to me, presumably undergraduates. They were talking about a sexual encounter one of them had had recently. The girls were loud, sexy, and full of swagger. I had been feeling annoyed by them and their devil-may-care bluster, but now I looked up and saw that the man was staring at them, obviously and apparently salaciously. I felt intimidated by his frank stare, but I looked at the girls and they didn't seem to care, which made me proud of them and emboldened for myself. Go ahead, talk about sex, I thought. Don't let this freak scare you. Eventually, the girls left.